Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Fillmore's finest, Monte here. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe, Butcher, Boy, Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast. Oh, baby. Gotta change it up a little. Morning roast, Shasky, Fonte Hill. What's up, buddy?
I just can't believe. I want to hear from Niner fans, man. Actually, I want to talk some Warriors. I do want to talk some Warriors. I want to get into the Warriors, man. I want some joy in my life. Not saying that the Niners don't provide me joy, but when we start, Mike Tirico just said it to him. He just told you that a couple weeks ago. We start talking about coaching and trading coaches, and I know you're having fun, but this is a definition of insanity. Like, think about how insane this poll is. Let's trade Shanahan for Harbaugh. Let's bring in this guy for this guy. Let's get rid of, we have it really good right now. And when I hear from other fan bases and other players, like, yo, what y'all going to do with Harbaugh? We need a coach. Raider fans calling in. We'll take Harbaugh right now. Right now. I bet you Arizona last year with Gannon, they would have taken Harbaugh right now. Dallas Cowboy fans, you think they take Kyle Shanahan? You think Cowboy fans would take Kyle Shanahan right now?
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean...
He's really good. We know that.
He's been close to the mountaintop now. It's tough. It's tough to win. Marty Schottenheimer never won. Marv Levy never won. Joe Robbie, Don Shula didn't win for a long time. He's been for the last, 30 years of his career, for crying out loud. So, I don't know, man.
I just
feel like this fan base is so down on Kyle Shanahan, and we're blaming him for so many different reasons. We're players got to make freaking plays. When are we going to hold players accountable around here?
I think this is what happens when you don't cash in a championship. I've thought a lot about this, and you could tell me what your opinion is, but let's say the Warriors didn't win that first title. Let's say they lose for whatever reason, whether it's in the finals or in the Western Conference finals. Does it hang over your head that you didn't win it? And then the next year you have that remarkable season and you don't win it there. And now it's a thing. You know what I mean? And you go years and years. It's like the pressure just continues to mount. I think about the Atlanta Braves of the 90s. The pressure just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger for the Los Angeles Dodgers, right? The pressure got bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I think this is what happens when you've been knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door, and you just keep stubbing your toe, trying to walk through, and you don't cash in. I think that at some point, you fall flat on your face, and you have, quote-unquote, a down year by your standards, which, the Bears would trade seasons, the last 10 seasons for this year, But that's the plight of success. I think that this is the byproduct of being so freaking good. Niner fans don't even know what a down year looks like because we've been so spoiled. And again, they're 500. They're 500 right now.
We've had some down years.
No, I'm talking about just recently, the last couple. We've been jaded. We've been kind of spoiled.
I mean, they've had some down years, but yeah, we are spoiled. I said this. I've been saying this kind of all season. I've been a little disappointed in Niner fans this year, and kind of the and you know what? Maybe it's because of the Super Bowl loss. Maybe it's because of the omens in training camp of losing Pearsall and McCaffrey and the IU called out and the Trent Williams hold out and Garrido injures his hamstring on the first day of camp. So,
do you believe in emotional burnout?
No, sometimes I do. I do, but I don't think this team suffers from it.
Oh, no, I'm talking about more the fan base, like the psyche of the fan base.
Yeah, but they're all back. They're all back for the Jets game. We all say, oh, man, we're tired. We need a break. Nah, we're always back.
I don't know about break, but more like just you've been through
for fans,
some.
Yeah, for fans, sure.
You've been through some trauma, I guess.
I mean, fans.
We're talking fan trauma.
Yeah, you would know more than me.
Well, I just think that, like, it's really difficult when you lose a championship to get over it, you know? And it's really, 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 really tough when it feels like everything went your way the last couple of years. You didn't cash in. And then you're sitting here and you're like, oh, my God, was last year the best chance we had to win a Super Bowl and we lost in freaking overtime?
Well, everything lined up right.
Right? Well, like, it's hard to come to grips with that. And then I think what ends up happening is you overcompensate and you crush the quarterback. And you crush the head coach. And you crush ownership. And you start making, oh, my God, the parking lot. You know what I mean? Like, we come up with all these reasons on why they can't win.
Let's go to, you're right about that. Fan is short for fanatic, right? I mean, but emotionally, I was spent at the Rams game. I'll bounce back up, and now my ass was in Philadelphia the next year. Then Philadelphia happened. And I was like, damn. I'm not going to get back up for this one. Damn. And then I did. So we all get back up. We get emotional. We get burnt out a little bit, but I never get down in the dumps like, I got to turn the TV off. Like, you know, there's people, if you lose an NFC championship, for example, they're like, I'm not watching the Super Bowl. What the hell with that? I am watching the Super Bowl.
What?
Or if they don't make the playoffs, well, I'm watching the playoffs. I'm watching it closely. Or if they lose in the playoffs, well, I'm going to continue to watch at a high, high level. That's just me,
everybody
though. Everybody's different.
You know, like so I was thinking about, like, the Giants and the O's, right? When they lost the World Series in 2002. 2003, they run it back. They go wire to wire, and they lose to the freaking Marlins. And they should have lost that series. Like, the Marlins were the better team. It was so hard. It was so hard that following season, 04. It was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, they have no shot. No shot whatsoever. You were emotionally drained and spent. And I feel like there's a part of the fan base, not all, but there is a part of the fan base that's just emotionally drained currently, and they haven't gotten over the Super Bowl. And I get it. I'm having a hard time. I don't think I'll ever get over it. Ever.
So when you say get over it, does that mean that you can't really lock in on the season?
Nah, more game like
to game.
Like, every loss, it's like, you lost that Super Bowl, so let me take it all out on the coach. And, like, right now, I'm just going to unload on him. And I think it's unfair.
Yeah, he'll get over it.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's hard to describe. Sports fans do this stuff, man.
Yeah. I hear you.
Like, talk to a Yankee fan about Aaron
Judge.
Sports
fans do do it.
Talk to a Yankee fan about Aaron Judge.
We're talking about trading Shanahan for Harbaugh. That's came up.
Well, we're just having having a conversation.
No, but obviously it came from the internet. And obviously it came from somebody calling. And Spadoni actually brought it up in the show thread. I'm like, that's where we're at right now? Talk about trading the head coach now? When losses happen, what I've done as I get, and trust me, I tweet a lot, but it's not like I'm like diving in to see who's having what take or whatnot, because I'm not going to drive myself crazy. I get emotional about the games, but I have a different way of dealing with it. Well, and I already know that during the season, unless you're mathematically eliminated, you still got a shot.
Yeah, but there's
a
roller coaster.
You're 5-5, and there's a roller, and I like the roller coaster. I do like the roller coaster because, for me, it separates who can handle adversity, who can't. Whether it's the players, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the fan base. And I know which fans are which. So I know which fans I don't talk to during the season, because I know, oh, they're wishy-washy. As soon as they lose, they're going to call me. Or as soon as they win, I don't hear from them. E-40 had a great line. Now, I'm going to paraphrase what E-40 said. He goes, boy, all or something else. When we win, I don't hear from none of y'all. No congratulations, no nothing. Hey, this guy did a good job. Even from the whole fan base. I don't hear from you. You don't say anything. Oh, this play was good. You're always critical. But boy, when they lose, oh, Oh, this game's not even over. The text messages are rolling.
But that's life. I mean, your hater shows up to your funeral. You know what I mean? In the front row, sitting next to your mom.
But fans, they're not even haters. They're just fans. Fans, some fans do this where they just jump the shark.
Well, no.
Every single week.
I just think this is part of football, number one. And the Niners, like, when you have a 30-year drought, you know, of winning Super Bowls, and you've been knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, it makes everyone crazy. We're at the level of insomnia. Are we not?
This is
like
great,
Bonte, man. One of your buddies is a diehard Niner fan. I would consider him one of the quintessential Bay Area sports fan, Harry Bearson.
Oh yeah.
And all year it's like he kinda has been like
He's been down.
He's been down on this team, right? And I would consider him to be a very pragmatic, very thought out, very optimistic sports fan.
One of the smartest sports fans I know.
Exactly. And yet he has, like, all year he has been very, I don't know, something's not right. My eyes are telling me, and I'm saying to myself, like, I think a lot of people feel that way. They love the Niners, but all year it's just been like, ah.
Well, look, full disclosure here. When the situation happened between Draymond Green and Jordan Poole a couple years ago, in my head, I was like, damn, this season, because I've been around a lot of sports teams, covered a lot of sports teams, and I thought, damn, this season might be cooked. Like, they may have a shelf life, and I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but I don't know if they're going to go back-to-back. And I felt like they were going to go back-to-back. I really did. That all season, I was like, boy, Poole's coming back, and Wiseman, and I was feeling really good. And then you watch that first road trip, you're like, oh, no. They didn't win a game on a road trip. Oh, no. This might be a long year.
They were so bad that first month.
But my job here at 95.7 The Game at NBC Sports Bay Area, I was like, well, I can't just go on the radio and say, boy, we got no shot this year. I've got to go through the journey. I've got to somehow, like, not sell hope, but you got to be positive in a way, right? You got to just have that mindset of just, man, how are we going to get through the season here? So I try to stay away from it, but I'm not going to lie to you. When I was in New York and watching everything from afar in training camp, I'm thinking, boy, there's not a lot of good omens here. And usually when this happens with a football team, because I've seen it before, it doesn't play out well. And when the McCaffrey news broke, during Monday Night Football, while I'm on the field, and they're like, wait, he's not playing, and it could be an Achilles. And I'm like, oh, no, that's not a good omen, right? Not a good omen.
Well, I thought the whole offseason was a lot of bad omens, but continue.
So, but to your point about Harry Bearson, he could read things very well, but he's also not going to flip the spread and go crazy. He understands it. He's very smart. We talk all the time after a game, all the time. We'll talk, and he's very calm, very cool, collected. He never screams, never yells. Yeah. He's just very calm and collected when it comes to his 49ers. Now, you get the other side of it, and I got a buddy named Uber Latif. He can't wait to text as soon as the game is over. Get rid of this guy. I didn't even open up the thread last time. I didn't even open up the thread on Sunday from some of these fans. I didn't. I refused. It's like, I already know what they're going to say.
But I think this is the beauty of sports, is that people are going to have varying opinions on stuff. And, like, you know, one of my closest buddies, Guido, young Guido, our dads went to Niner games growing up together. I've been to a countless Niner games with Guido. Guy watches every second of everything. He has been out on Shanahan for a long time. And even though he's rooting for him to win the Super Bowl last year, he's just always with a side eye, like, I just don't like this guy. I don't think he's great. I think that the team is really, really good, and I think he's holding them back. I'm like, what are you talking about? And, like, again, these are the conversations sports fans have, where I'm looking at him like, are you crazy? You know, and he's like, no, are you crazy?
Well, love it when he brought it up on the show call. Then it's Fedoni's asking. I kind of like this question. I say, what? What question? The Harbaugh question?
Some people are Harbaugh guys.
But no, I'm a Harbaugh guy.
Yeah.
I've always loved Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. I watch every single Chargers video because of Jim Harbaugh. But at the same time, that time is coming. It's coming gone.
Yeah.
He's even made amends with Jed York and come back for anniversaries to Levi Stadium. So that's done. But I want to hear from the calls, man. Yeah. We've got some calls here. Let's go to before we get to Anthony Slater at 8:30, talk some dubs. BPA, we'll start off with you, BPA. Brian DePaulo Alto.
Yo, I don't believe in the theory of players need to make plays and it's not at the coach is not accountable for the product on the field. I don't want to fire Kyle, but, like, that logic would say that Jim Tom Sula should still be the coach for the 49ers. So ultimately somebody is accountable for the product on the field, and that's either going to be the coach or the GM. In this particular case, Kyle's really both. That's sort of the challenge for Kyle right now, is that the players on the field, of which this is a roster that is lacking in a lot of areas, yes, they've had injuries, Kyle ultimately has a trigger on roster the final roster and the roster decision. So that's what sunk Belichick, right? Is you can say, oh, well, it's still a great coach. It's the GM's fault. But when the GM and the coach are the same guy, it's really, really hard to separate the performance of the players from the coach. And I think the thing that a lot of people take issue with Kyle now, again, I don't want him to be fired, and I wouldn't take Harbaugh over him, just because you know Harbaugh's probably going to blow up at some point. But it's that there's just – he's had kid gloves treatment locally, kid gloves. He's had almost no criticism in his time here, and he's made a lot of bad decisions in the last 9 months. Whiffed on a second straight DC, continued the employ of an incompetent special teams coach. And, you know, there should be some accountability for that. Doesn't mean it's his job, but, like, I do think, you know, like, Kyle's very stubborn and very prideful, and he does not like to own it publicly ever. And when he does make mistakes, and he does a lot of great things as a coach and has done, and that would be my criticism, is just you own it. You whiffed on Sorensen. They're the 17th-ranked defense in the league. They were third last year under Wilkes. Sorry, that's a whiff. You made a big decision, and you whiffed. You kept Schneider here. You whiffed. And now you have, I think, a below-average coaching staff. And, I mean, two of the three phases, and Kyle's phase ain't doing so hot either. So that would be my thing. It's just you gotta own it. And part of owning it means you're going to change and evolve. So, and they've shown very little evolution this year.
Brian, yeah. It would like I'm curious about owning it. You just want him to stand at the podium and be like, yeah, I missed on that. That would suffice for you?
Well, I mean, the alternative is you bring Sorensen back out of spite for, you know, your critics, which I think would be a real mistake. He should have hired a super qualified, competent defensive coordinator, and he hired a guy who had never been a DC, never even really coached a position group on his own.
Should they have
and kept, he made a mistake.
Should they have kept Steve Wilkes?
Yes, they should have. And I, Fonte, you were at Wilkes.
No, I'm kidding.
If you're gonna fire Wilkes, you better hire an upgrade. And he hired a massive downgrade. Massive. Oh, by the way, where's the Sorensen criticism from Kyle this year?
They
dropped 14 spots.
Eric Branch has wrote an article. He just wrote an article in the Chronicle. And it got published this morning about Nick Sorensen. And he's been very critical of Nick Sorensen, Eric Branch. Not just Cam M and Eric Branch, two guys on the beat, who said, why wasn't there any adjustments once Nick Bosa left the game? Geno was very comfortable in the pocket. So, yes, you know, one thing Steve Kerr did, and Dunleavy came to Steve Kerr this past offseason. Said, what about upgrading the coaching staff a little bit? They lost Kenny Atkinson. And the Warriors, when they were winning championships, always had a former player on the staff. Yeah. There's Willie Green, Aaron Miles, Luke Walton.
Collins.
Jaren Collins. They had former coaches, former players as coaches on the staff. And Steve Kerr, they upgraded. They bring in Terry Stotts. They bring in Jerry Stackhouse. And sometimes you just need a little tweak. And so maybe you bring back Sala. Maybe you bring back a solid defense coordinator. Maybe it's a scheme change. And then maybe you bring in another set of vibes offensively to help you. And I think that will come in the offseason. I do think that'll come. Kyle's no dummy.
Well, he did that a couple years ago with Anthony Lynn.
Right.
Right? And I thought that, yeah, was he assistant head coach? I forget what his role was, but he was overlooking certain things, and they got a different set of eyes. I'm almost laughing at it suggesting this, but, like, what is Brandon Staley doing? I'm not saying he should take the job. I'm asking what is he doing?
You don't have to ask that again.
No.
You can stop asking that question.
What exactly does he do?
No, I know that's Brandon Staley. I'm well aware that's Brandon Staley.
What does he do on game day?
I don't know.
What does he do during the week?
I don't know. We should ask somebody. We've asked
people, what does Brandon Staley do? And every time it's like, oh, he's advising and doing this and doing that. And every answer just, like, leads to more questions.
We'll see.
Well, is that him?
We'll see.
That was Zach Taylor.
But, like,
yeah, we're not there yet.
No one knows what Brandon Staley does.
But let me ask the question, that why didn't they just, I mean, if this... if you needed to have Brandon Staley help out Sorensen, why didn't you just hire Staley? Like, the whole thing doesn't make a lot of sense. I will admit.
No, there's the Phantom is crazy. Theo in the East Bay. He says he's an emotionally drained fan.
I feel him.
Theo in the East Bay. What's happening?
What's up, Theo?
Yo, what's going on, boys? Yo, Shasky asked if we believe in that emotionally drained thing. And, man, I'm just a fan, and I'm emotionally drained. All these losses, the big losses, not having won the big one. And then everything leading up to this year, contract holdouts. And, you know, the season isn't going the way that we expected, man. And now it just feels like, you know, things aren't going to go the way we expected it. And that's just me coming from a fan. So I can't even imagine what it's like for these players. But you know what? I believe in Kyle Shanahan. I mean, everybody's over here, you know, calling for his job and stuff like that. But, man, we forget this organization wasn't doing too hot before he was here. He completely changed the culture. So you know what? All that talk, man, I'm not with it just yet. But let's see how the rest of the season goes. I think if we get healthy, Drake Greenlaw comes back, turns that defense around, we'll be good. Cheers, boys.
Yeah, cheers. I don't think Drake Greenlaw's hitting the practice field yet. He might hit it next week. He might. We're running out of time here.
Well, even if he comes back, I mean, what can you expect from a guy coming off an Achilles?
No, I don't know.
Whose game was explosion and let me blast you into oblivion.
Yeah.
And then putting a finger in Big Dom. They do miss the nasty, though, dog. Like, they miss him so much.
They miss him.
They miss him.
Antonio in Oakland, real quick before the break. Antonio, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, you guys? You know, no need to worry. The 49ers will be back. At the end of the day, though, man, like, we lost a lot of these close games. It's not like we're getting blown out. We just got to fix a couple mistakes. One game out of the division. Don't trip, y'all. And I'm tired of people always saying Harbaugh this, Harbaugh that. Did Harbaugh win, like, 3 or 4 Super Bowls when he was our coach or something? That's what people make it seem like. But, I mean, at the end of the day, man, like, I like his fire, too. You know, I do like that. But he didn't win no Super Bowls, y'all. Zero.
Me,
Jasky, and Bonte put together.
I mean, honestly, do people feel like Harbaugh's reign as a 49ers head coach was more successful than Kyle Shanahan's?
Well, this has been longer, and I would say it's been a little more successful. Harbaugh was more impressive.
I love Harbaugh. Again, I love Harbaugh. But to me, what Shanahan has done with this organization is far more impressive than what Harbaugh did.
I think, yeah, I don't know about far, but like whatever. That's like slicing words, but
right.
I would put Shanahan above Harbaugh in terms of impressiveness.
I mean,
but they're both impressive. I don't want to make it sound because what Harbaugh did was one of the most awesome things I'd seen as a sportsman.
It was great, but Shanahan took this organization that didn't have a quarter. They had DeForest Buckner.
Well, they also had Eric Armstead on the roster.
But we didn't believe in Eric Armstead like that in real time. We said DeForest Buckner.
Yeah, I know.
We never bring up Eric Armstead ever.
Well, I think he gets credit for, you know, maximizing that guy.
Right. This is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freeman Appliances. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Anthony Slater, 8:30. Ted Wynn, 9:20. I'm going to talk some Warriors. Put a smile on my face. Look at the Dubs talk. The Shedhead stuff is bad. Talk about a Q rating just... Woo-wee. I thought I was a Shanahan hater 3 years ago.
Who is? Me?
All you guys. The Q ratings. Nah, I'm kidding. Not all you. It's not you, Shasky.
And I was worried.
You are worried a lot.
I mean, it's been a, you know...
How you feel about the Green Bay game?
I think this is a huge game for both teams. This is one of those games where, like, I think if Green Bay wins this game, they could go on a little run. And I think if the Niners win this game, they could go on a little run. I'll worry about Buffalo next week. I am just solely focused on winning this game. Every Sunday feels like it's an entirely different universe.
Let me see if the spread is before we break.
It's the first game the Niners have not been favored to start the week out all year.
That is wild. That is wild. I bet you they were favored in every game last year, too.
That I don't know. You would know.
I'm pretty sure I
wouldn't know that.
I'm pretty sure they were favored in every single game last season.
Christmas night?
Baltimore? I think they were favored against Baltimore.
I know this year this is the first game because I heard one of those betting promos. They were like, this is the first game the Niners have not been favored all year to start the week out.
Packers -2.5. What did it open at?
I mean, that's basically what we're up against. So that's basically a pick-em because obviously the home team gets three points. But we can get into it more on the other side after you talk to Anthony Slater.
Right. Wow. It's like you've done this before.
Safe holiday travels. Hey, go to Valvoline Instant Oil Change right by my house. It's awesome. Awesome. I went in there, in and out. 15-minute drive-through oil change. Expert technicians. They check my fluids. They check my tire pressure, my windshield wipers, my lights, the batteries, and much, much more. For locations and coupons, visit BayAreaOilChange.com. That's BayAreaOilChange.com.
Golden State Racing in Pleasanton at the Alameda County Fairgrounds is the home for horse racing in Northern California. Friday through Sunday, now until December 15th. Visit GoldenStateRacing.com for more info and for your chance to win box seats at the track. Visit 957thegame.com.
All right, maybe I need to stretch. I need to stretch a little bit, man. Back feels a little tight today, so I need to hit the Stretch Lab, and you should hit the Stretch Lab too, man. It was created with the sole purpose of helping people improve their flexibility and range of motion so they can live with more freedom and less pain. And let me tell you, ever since I started going to the Stretch Lab, I don't feel any pain. My hips feel good. My knees feel good. My ankles feel good. Even my Achilles tendon, which flares up from time to time, it's been straight because of the great flexologists at the Stretch Lab. They know what they're doing. They're highly trained. They know a lot about performance and movement. And trust me, they keep me going every single week, let me know my progress. And boy, I've made a lot of progress, a lot of it. Some of the benefits of regular stretching are improved flexibility and mobility, reduced pain, soreness and stiffness, improved blood flow, muscle repair and recovery time. And the best way to experience the magic of Stretch Lab, try it. Feel the difference assisted stretching can make in your body. There are Stretch Lab locations all over the Bay Area. Go to stretchlab.com/Bay Area to find a studio closest to you.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy. And then tune in to the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
All right, Day-Day, we'll see you a little bit later. He's been on a podcast. He's taking some shots at Kendrick Perkins. You know what? I'm just playing right now before Slater. Or no, we got Slater coming up. All right, we'll play it. Here's Kendrick Perkins yesterday. Making a big deal about the Zach Edey and Draymond Green play. Here's Kendrick Perkins on First Take.
I actually think Draymond should be suspended for an extended period of time. We're talking about a play where he actually, yes, we're talking about a play where he pulled on the opponent's Achilles while the opponent was going in the opposite direction. And we're talking about a guy, Zach Edey, who's 7'2", 7'3", probably 300 pounds. This could have been a season-ending injury right here. And I get it, right? Like, you know, so many people, it's like, oh, it's a sticky situation because it is Draymond. Some people on the other side, like with me, are saying, hey, this is a dirty play. He needs to be penalized for this. He needs to be suspended. And there's others that says, hold on, let's take a deeper dive into it. We don't want to make it as if we're picking on Draymond. But if you ask me, he needs to be suspended for an extended period of time.
All right, Kendrick Perkins wants him suspended for a long period of time. Here's Draymond's response.
The ratings is low. We know Draymond name sparks buzz. We know that name carries weight. We know that's going to get people riled up.
Controversy.
Hey, man, ratings low. And sub in Draymond.
And then Draymond Green responded to Taylor Jenkins, the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies.
You got Janky Taylor Jenkins, who's a softy. Bro, this game 11, you run into the media crying about a foul that, come on, bro. So guess what you just taught your 7'3 rookie? How to be emotional and run to the media talking about a foul. We bigs. We big men. You don't run to the media talking about a foul. You a big man. He's supposed to protect Ja Morant. You right. Send him up to where Ja Morant gonna be to protect him. He's big enough to possibly have fooled people that he could be a little tough. And now nobody believe you. Now Joel Embiid gonna like try to put his chest into the stanchion just to see. Like, huh? Yeah. I think he might be a little soft. Ooh.
Yeah, they gonna try now. Everybody gonna try.
Y'all gotta stop breeding these soft dudes, man. Stop making these guys turn out to be snitches and soft and going to tell. Because you are a big man.
Draymond did tweet something about Zach Edey during the tournament, right?
I have no idea.
Now that I recall, maybe Slater knows. Maybe Slater knows. Anthony Slater joins us as he does every single Wednesday on the Rosart 95.7 The Game Insider on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Slates, what's happening, man? Good morning to you. And didn't Draymond, didn't he make the rounds during the tournament? He tweeted something about Zach Edey or whatnot?
I mean, probably. Draymond got like a Thursday night football show. He got, there's not a NFL linebacker he hasn't put a tape takeout on. So to answer your question, probably. Do I remember it? No.
No, well, Spadoni
has
it here.
Right here, Slates. Don't worry. So this is Draymond on April 8th. So this was when they were playing, who was it, UConn?
UConn, right? Or maybe the semifinal game. It could have been either or.
So there you go. Sure. So job well done, 35. You did your job tonight. It was him that made Edey quit with about 19 minutes to go in
That's
the second
right.
half.
Yeah. Ain't nothing Draymond loves more than like an undersized big, like, you know, handling like one of those 7-footers, particularly in like a Big Ten setting.
But you know what? I don't really care about that aspect of it. Draymond's playing some good basketball. He's playing some really good basketball. But let's start here, Slater, this week. It's, they play the Hawks today, and I think maybe you're with me here. I don't know. I think it's going to be a little tricky game tonight. Hawks, they got some impressive defensive numbers. They had an impressive win the other night in Sacramento, but the Warriors' free throw shooting. What do you make of that?
I mean, I think a lot of the guys that are getting free throws for them right now are questionable free throw shooters, right? You know, Kuminga's got to be better than, what is he, about 61% right now? Mm-hmm. Particularly because if he becomes who he wants to in his career, which is like a downhill high usage wing, like he's going to be taking 8-9 a game, right? You can't be leaving points on the table like that. Like your best scoring star wings are like 80% free throw shooters. So he's got to get better. But, you know, Draymond and Kevon Looney kind of are who they are from the line. Trace Jackson Davis were become, you know, I think we're starting to learn he's in near more 65-ish range, and if he's going to get free throws. Steph's not getting that many right now. Yeah. I think 3.3 per game, which is about it's the lowest since like his third season. Like, obviously, if Steph gets him, you know, ups his volume, the accuracy of the team is going to go up. So I don't know. I don't know that it's just a massive problem, but it cost them a game the other night, and it was a problem that I know internally, you know, some of their, you know, numbers people were like bringing up to them, like, hey, this has got to get better. And then I think it just lands better with the team now that's like, hey, you lost the game because of this.
60% for Pods from the free throw line.
Well, what's going on with Pods?
It just seems like a few things kind of snowballed on him, right? I mean, we've talked about it, though, but he breaks the nose. I think that kind of throttled him going into the season a little bit. He was trying to embrace the mask, but it became very clear it was annoying to him early on. And then this very strange illness, whatever you want to call it, where he leaves the game in D.C. because he was dizzy, like really dizzy. Sounds like vertigo to me, but I've been told they said it wasn't vertigo. Pod said the other day he doesn't, like, they haven't figured out exactly what it was, but he misses a couple games, super low energy when he came back. And then that, I think, has snowballed into the idea that his stats aren't good. He's clearly pressing. I mean, Steve has openly said he thinks there was been some indecisive games from him, which is rare for Pajemski. And then the shooting, you mentioned the shooting numbers. He's 38% overall. I think he's 19% from three and then 60% from the line. I mean, that's like, they can't have that. And they say, you know, you go back to his summer. He shot it well all summer. He shot it well in camp. He shot it well late last season. They are really pumping out the belief that, like, over the long term of his career, he's going to show to be a very good shooter. He was in college. We all remember. I remember when they drafted him. I thought that was his most, like, translatable skill. So they think it's going to get corrected, but, like, now's the time, right?
What do you think happens in terms of rotation? Because it feels to me like they're searching for another point guard to kind of step up. Lindy Waters, maybe bringing the ball up. Moody, now with the Melton injury, that really hampers him, and we'll get to him in a second. But just for the short term, how do you think they break it down?
Yeah, I mean, those are the other guys, like Moody and Lindy Waters, can't play point. Their points are, it's Steph, obviously, but Draymond as a point forward. And then on the backup is Pajemski and Kyle Anderson,
kind of.
And, you know, we know the style they play. Everybody's going to touch the ball. You'll see anybody, Kevon Looney at times with the ball up top, like, you know, initiating an action. But if we're just talking point guard, that's kind of how they view it. As far as, like, I'm curious about who starts at the two, obviously, because without Melton, they've tried to go with your more, like, shooting, like, taller two guard. They've gone with Lindy Waters. Moody's kind of viewed to them more as like a 3-4, but, you know, I see him starting at the two. I just No, historically, like I said, they haven't necessarily liked him in that particular slot. And then Pajemski, I mean, to me, if you want to get him going, just starting him and you know, kind of maybe giving him some responsibilities off the bat, maybe juices him a little. But I could hear that argument. I could hear I think they should probably try Moody or Pajemski in the starting lineup.
I'm kind of with you there as we're talking to Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line, because it is unfortunate with D'Anthony Melton. He seemed like he solidified this starting five. He was 7-14 from three in his previous two games, starting to get his three after missing five games, of course. Or actually, he came back to the Cleveland game, then he goes 7-14 and gets OKC in Dallas. He had the lower back injury. And now he has a sprained left ACL. What are you hearing about this? How serious can this be? Do the Warriors expect him to be out a couple weeks, a few weeks, a month? What are you hearing about D'Anthony Melton?
Yeah, I mean, I spent the whole day on Monday trying to figure that out. And they're like, there's not really any firm answers from anybody. I mean, it's like he is seeking extra opinions, you know, from various doctors and trying to, I guess, figure out what the best treatment plan is, rest plan. You know, how severe the sprain is, whatever. It's clearly some type of tricky injury that where, you know, Rick Celebrini and some of the medical decision makers from the Warriors and Melton himself just don't really, you know, grasp how severe it is yet and how long it's going to take. You do, on the optimistic side, when you talk to people, go, what, they hope he's only out for a couple weeks and then he's able to kind of ramp the conditioning back up. It didn't seem, outside looking in, it didn't seem like that severe a sprain when it happened. He was going into the game kind of wearing a sleeve on that leg, and then if you guys remember the play, it almost looked like it might have been like an ankle tweak or a small little tweak. He finished the game. He closed against the Mavericks after it happened. And then obviously we hear about it the next day. So we'll see. Again, he's walking, like, he's not on crutches or anything. You see him during the game, like, come out of the tunnel. He's doing some work. I have not seen him do any court work or anything like that. But according to them, look, they think they should have an answer within the next week or so after getting more opinions on it. But clearly they do not know yet exactly.
Wow. Okay. They need him. I mean, I was like, I got teased by seeing the various lineups with him, and it's like, wow. I mean, he can give you shooting. He's an extra ball handler.
Available. He's, you know, he's dealt with this stuff. You know, he played 35 games last year. The back's been an issue. Like, that's, he's on a make good contract because he's trying to prove to the league, hey, I can stay healthy and I can.
Right. Like, so how do they thread the needle, Slates? Like, I know they did this kind of with Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah.
And he was in a different role. Like, how do they thread this needle with him? I think he's important.
He's hugely important. It does feel like he kind of completes not only his starting lineup, but completes like the team in a lot of ways. You mentioned the name Otto Porter. I mean, Otto Porter, by the way, we probably had this conversation three or four times during the season about Otto Porter. He was in and out of the lineup. The thing is, they just guided him really well into the playoffs to where, as you look back at that season, he was there at all the key moments, right?
Right.
I remember he had they went into Phoenix during that like 18-2 start and had a huge win in Phoenix. I remember Poole went off when he was still starting, and Otto Porter like won the game with like three jumpers late, and it was like, you know, what a signing. But then he missed like a month or something like that. They deactivated him. A lot of it is like Rick Celebrini is very careful. It's part of kind of his treatment plan. So to answer your question, how they thread the needle, I mean, Rick Celebrini is going to do his best to try to thread the needle and get D'Anthony Melton available when it matters most this season. But that could also include a lot of various deactivations over the course of the season. Or, by the way, like, we don't know how bad this, you know, if this sprained ACL, anytime you hear the term ACL, like, you know, there's obviously a larger concern, you know, you guys know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying here. It's not ideal. Otto Porter Jr. go through like a 3-month stretch where he hit five threes or something like that? He was struggling mightily.
It's just funny how it works when like a title happens. Like, you don't remember all the various like fits and starts of that season. Draymond Green missed over half that season with a really scary back injury.
Yep. His mom, Mary Babers Green, joined us before game four. She goes, I have no idea how bad the back is. I was like, what? What the hell is going on here? Steph missed a lot of time. I don't even think, what did he miss the last?
Missed the last month.
Yeah, the last month.
Steph didn't start in the first round of the playoffs. Right. It was his first game back. They were starting Jordan Poole.
They were. He's coming off the bench. Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line on 95.7 The Game. Our 95.7 The Game insider does a great job for the Athletic. break here. So Buddy Hield, Jonathan Kuminga coming off the bench here. What's the deal with Loon? Do they expect Loon to play today? Because they missed him the other night against Zubac.
Yeah, sounds like it. I mean, got a workout in. And, he, you know, Looney kind of plays through stuff. And, you know, reality is Looney's a 12 to 18 minute, you know, per game type guy. So I would guess yes tonight on Looney.
Turnovers. Go ahead. I was going to just ask about the turnovers. Feel like it's starting to rear its ugly head over the last two games, Slates.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's three losses this season, or three of their, like, five worst turnover nights, which was 17 against Cleveland and then 19 and 21 in the two Clippers losses. I do think the common thread there is, like, the type of defense the Clippers play and the type of defense, like, the Cavs play, long, athletic, physical, you know, Ty Lue's kind of at the spear of the head with the Clippers. So this is, I think, you know, switching teams that really kind of overcommit on Steph, particularly if it's a sloppy Draymond night, which he would admit the other night really was, right? He had six turnovers. You're going to turn the Warriors over. And when you turn the Warriors over, you're probably going to beat them. That's, I think, what we're learning, particularly about this team, and even go back to last year's team. So we'll see. We'll see. To me, like, you know, it's going to happen. They're going to have, you know, a handful of 20 turnover games the rest of the season. They just can't average 16, 17 a game. And right now they're at 14.7. I think they're like middle of the pack in the league. Like, that's not that bad.
No. I'm just looking at the variety of ratings, and I know that, you know, we kind of care because we're in it. I don't know if necessarily the average fan cares, but I love the explanations and then some of the contradictions. Silver is blaming the election in the World Series for the dip in ratings. Draymond thinks that the media wants to suspend him because of the poor ratings. Shaq is blaming three-point shooting for the poor ratings, and yet the NBA Cup ratings are up 71%, and Steph on national TV is rating through the roof. Why is Steph such an anomaly in this era where the ratings are seeing a big dip?
I mean, he's just like the extremely famous, like beyond, you know, your Anthony Edwards is like famous in the basketball world. Steph Curry's like just famous in the world. The Warriors are a big ratings draw. I mean, we know this. It's been like this for years. They're a solidified longtime team that has like kept their, mostly their core members together. I mean, at this point, we're basically just talking Steph and Draymond, but they're just a brand that draws. I mean, the Lakers are too, and LeBron is, but at this point, it does seem like Steph is a bump higher than that. You know, and again, my thing on it all is, like, I just think the habits of, like, NBA viewers have changed. Like, I know so many of my friends or, you know, just people in the past that I know that, like, really follow the league, and every time I see them, they can talk storylines or they want to know what's going on here. Like, hey, why is Moody not playing? You know, name your various, like, pretty in-the-weeds storyline. Like, they know what's going on, and then it's like, have you watched the game yet this season? Like, no, not yet. Like, yeah. I'll probably watch one later in the year. You know, they're following it on their phones. They're seeing the highlights that they're – anything I'm reporting, like it's getting to them, you know, but it's like they're not sitting down every night like, yeah, Warriors Jazz on a Sunday at 6 p.m. Like, I'm locked in. It's just what it is.
Yep. No, I agree with that, Slater. Real quick, we played the sound of Draymond coming in of the whole Taylor Jenkins and Zach Edey situation. Would you make it a foul Friday night? Because Friday night was that second half was tough to watch. Oh my gosh, I didn't know how I was going to get through the post game show watching that second half. And then, you know, we talked after the game Friday night, but then I didn't even think about the Zach Edey play. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I thought we moved on. Now I got upgraded to a flagrant one. Then you get the back and forth with Draymond Green kind of replying to Taylor Jenkins and the whole break the cold thing. Where do you sit in all this stuff? Because I Kendrick Perkins actually escalated by saying he should be suspended for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, like, I don't mind if that gets upgraded to a flagrant one, take foul, whatever you want to call it. But the idea that, like, Draymond suddenly needs to be suspended for these, like, relatively normal physical fouls is, like, it's like people have gone over the top with it. Why did he get suspended? Choke Rudy Gobert after the whistle, right? That was a 9-second choke. That wasn't like a take foul in transition. And then the Nurkic forearm. And then you can go back to the pool punch that kind of led into all this. Like, those were like violent, very different scenarios, not like, oh, a take foul in transition that, you know, may have been a slightly overboard, or, you know, he fouled Valanciunas hard the other day, and, like, you know, Valanciunas was kind of up in arms about it. It's like, no, he's just like stopping a, you know, a layup. Like, those are fine physical, you can call it 1990s basketball. Yeah. I do think he's moaning a little bit about, like, kind of the softness of, like, the interior play. I know, did you see in that podcast, he kind of alluded to Joe Mazzulla, like wondering why they don't allow a little bit more fighting in the league, saying, hey, look, hockey allows fighting. And then, by the way, did you hear Draymond the other day talking about, he loves hockey. He's talking about Maxman Celebrini in detail. And within that answer, he was mentioning why he likes hockey. He's like, you know, they let him fight, you know, it's like bang, and they just walk over the penalty box for 3 minutes. So I'm like, obviously you don't want Draymond to do some of the stuff that have gotten him suspended the last couple of years, but I do think we've gone over the top where every little Draymond foul that other interior people commit, suddenly we're having a debate on if he needs to be suspended. Like, no. Like, at most, that's a flagrant one, which, by the way, isn't even an ejection. A flagrant one is you have to get two of those over the course of a game to be disqualified. So the suspension talk is ludicrous.
I think. It is ludicrous. And quietly, he got ejected out of the Friday night's game. I still don't even know why. That was a mess at the end of that game. Good Lord. That game was terrible. Real quick, the Atlanta Hawks. Should Warrior fans be concerned about the Atlanta Hawks, Slates?
I mean, you should be concerned about anybody at this point. Look, Trey Young can get hot. Dyson Daniels, you mentioned their defensive numbers.
You see his steal numbers? He's got 33 steals in the last seven games.
Yeah, look at his like deflections. He's like double anybody in the league, which, like, you know, that's a number I know defensive coaches love. It's just disruption. Did you see the end of the Kings game?
I did see that on De'Aaron Fox, yeah.
Yes, really clean, nice strip to basically win that game. De'Aaron Fox had a shot at a game. You know, he's going to be difficult to deal with, and I think you got to credit Atlanta for getting him in that DeJounte Murray deal. They're okay, though. I mean, the Hawks are, what's their record right now, like 7-8, They're one of the various mid-tier Eastern Conference teams. Warriors should take care of business. They have Hawks, Pelicans, Spurs, Nets, the next four. Those are four under 500 teams. Should at least go 3-1.
I'm with you there. Hawks, man, I'm looking at the numbers now. Steals per game, second. Deflections per game, third. Warriors are up there in those same categories. Opponents' turnover percentage, they're fourth in the league. So Hawks do a great job defensively under Quinn Snyder, man.
Dyson Daniels is a one-man wrecking crew right now.
33 steals. Lutman and Shasky are looking at me crazy because they have no idea who's on the Hawks other than Trae Young. They're like, the Hawks who? The Hawks what? Lutman, he has no clue what's going on with the Atlanta Hawks.
I want to see Shasky try to dribble near Dyson Daniels like 10 times to see how many times he can get his dribble past.
Don't underestimate me. I'm like Stan Van Gundy with the handles, bro.
I think Dyson would pick Stan Van. I mean, I've seen that video you're talking about, but
yeah. Don't underestimate. Your boy was hitting last night on eighth grader, so we had a big basketball practice. I couldn't miss last night.
All right, I'll believe cooking. It. Maybe get out there tonight.
Yeah, a 42-year-old on a bunch of 14-year-olds. I was cooking.
Hey, I watched the Mike Tyson fight. It's not like he's describing that right now.
Yeah, did you see him in the locker room? That's what my performance was like.
All right. I'm not envisioning that.
Slade's on the way out the door. I dare you to tell Draymond he's the Chris Pronger of the NBA.
Oh, boy.
Should I know that reference?
One of the greatest enforcers in hockey history.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. See, Draymond clearly knows a lot more than I do about hockey because I couldn't have told you who Chris Pronger
is. He's locked in on hockey, man. Michael celebrating with the game winner. You know Draymond was fired up for that. Oh, into a dome. Quick, 20 seconds. Into a dome. What you think?
It's nice. I came in expecting like grand, and I would say it was like slightly below what I was hoping. But the amenities are really nice. The medium room is nice, which I like. I wish they kind of had more like, you know, restaurants, entertainment, stuff like that outside of it. But is an 8 out of 10 okay? I mean, that's not bad.
Okay. That's not bad. Joe Lacob wouldn't want to hear that, but you know, that's not bad.
See you soon, buddy.
I'll see you tonight.
All right, Joe.
I'll see you tonight, Slater. All right. Anthony Slater. 95-70 game insider, the River Islands guest line. It's Dyson Daniels, dude. 33 steals in the last seven games. Didn't have a steal against Sacramento. Plenty of deflections. Had to play the game at the end, beat the Sacramento Kings against De'Aaron Fox. And if Jalen Johnson plays, this is a long, athletic team that's fast. And they're going to take care of the basketball. Their numbers here, just pulling their numbers before the show and just kind of watching their game back yesterday against the Sacramento Kings. Look, they're ninth in scoring. They score 116. The Warriors score 119 a game. They're 12th in field goal percentage. When it comes to three-point makes, they don't take a lot. They only take about 35 threes a game, which is 19th in the league. They make about 12, but you know what? If they get open threes, they can get hot. DeAndre Hunter off the bench, a young man from Virginia. He's a two-way player. Can guard, can hit the three, can score. He scored 24 off the bench the other night. Got to play your head. And the Hawks and Warriors, though, And now that it's dawned on me over the last 3 years, they've had some wild games against each other. Overtime game here at Chase Center. Remember, Looney had to tip in. Clay dropped 54 on them.
That's right.
Down in Atlanta, Trae Young and Steph Curry went crazy against each other. Yeah. They won an overtime in the ATL. Last 5-6 matchups over the last 3-4 years, they play some wild games against each other, the Hawks and the Warriors.
Yeah, but his point about going 3-1 over these next four is it's pretty spot on. You look at the Pelicans and where they are in the standings right now. Obviously, the Spurs are still like a up in the air team. I don't, they're ascending, but I don't really know what to make of them.
They blew out OKC yesterday without Wemby.
OKC, I believe, lost two in a row,
yeah,
or is it
struggling
three?
A little bit? They're struggling a little bit.
I know the Lakers are like one of the hottest teams in the sport right now. But you look at it and you say to yourself, like, just continue to stack wins if you're the Golden State Warriors. And I guess I'll pepper the same question that I threw to Slates to you. What do you think it is about Steph Curry, while everyone else seems to not be drawing in the NBA? And again, I'm not obsessed about ratings. It's football season. I think the number one problem is the calendar, right, for the NBA. But why does